The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We'll have a short meeting after church. Please rise as we begin singing our first hymn.
Thank you.
Let us draw near with a true heart and confess unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promised, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is found in the 12th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 1. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For yea, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. The epistle is from the first chapter of James, beginning with verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand.
In the 16th chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 5. Jesus said, But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, Where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take what of mine and declare it to you. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
off of our gospel reading. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, sorrow has filled the disciples' hearts. And they are sorrowful because Jesus is going to depart from them. In fact, by this time of the night in which Jesus would be betrayed, the disciples have already caught on that Jesus is going to die. That is what Jesus means when he says that he is going to be with the Father. He will go to be to the Father by way of the cross. Nevertheless, Jesus says that it is to their advantage that he go away. Because if he does not go away, the Helper will not come to them. The Helper is the Holy Spirit. Why will the Helper, the Holy Spirit, not come to them unless Jesus go away? Because if Jesus does not go away, the Helper will have nothing to bring the disciples in order to comfort them. Dear saints in Christ, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Christ and give it to his disciples. But unless Jesus departs and go away, the Holy Spirit cannot do this. Jesus goes to bear the sins of the whole world, to justly suffer the punishment you deserve, to die your death, and to rise from the dead. Unless Jesus does this, your sins are still upon you. Unless Jesus goes to the cross, your debt is not paid. Unless Jesus suffers and dies, then God's wrath is still on you. You see, there is no victory for the Holy Spirit to give you from Christ unless Christ goes and wins the victory. You know, it has become quite popular among many so-called Christian theologians to downplay the importance of Jesus' crucifixion upon the cross. To them, it just seems too barbaric. It seems too primitive for this modern age. I mean, how can you believe in a God who demands sacrifice? How can Jesus' suffering satisfy God's wrath? But such voices refuse to be taught by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proclaims to you the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit teaches you that this suffering, dying, and rising is what makes peace between God and sinners. This is why the Holy Spirit caused the Apostle Paul to write in his first letter to the Christians in Corinth. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Greeks. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Christ and he gives it to the church. And you see this happen as recorded for you in the 20th chapter of John, when Jesus returns from the grave and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold the sins of any, they are withheld." This authority to forgive sins is rooted in Jesus' work of redemption when he paid the price of your sins upon the cross. The Holy Spirit gives the church this authority because Jesus Christ has earned it for himself. The Holy Spirit takes what is Christ's and he declares it then to you. Nevertheless, if Jesus does not die for your sins, they cannot be forgiven. And the Holy Spirit cannot forgive your sins. This is why the church must always preach Christ crucified as an historical event. You see, this isn't some myth or legend. It really happened on this earth. Jesus' blood poured into the ground. His soul departed from his body. And God's wrath against all sin was satisfied. Then on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, as Scripture declares, with many witnesses. And on the basis of these facts, the Holy Spirit gives to you what belongs to Jesus: forgiveness of sins, adoption by God, the kingdom of God is your inheritance, and eternal life. Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin by convincing the world with words. In fact, the Holy Spirit will speak through these very disciples in order to convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus spoke earlier that same night, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Then after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance all that Jesus taught his disciples, and he gives them the boldness to preach what Jesus taught them. You see, with this, when you contrast how Peter denied Jesus three times on the night when Jesus was betrayed, and then boldly preached Christ's resurrection to a crowd on Pentecost, having been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convinces the world of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. Unbelief is the greatest, and indeed is the only damnable sin. This is exactly what Jesus says in John, the third chapter of John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, unbelief is the only damnable sin, because Jesus had paid for the sins of the whole world. He purchased salvation so that it might be given to all who believe in him. But if you do not believe, you reject this gift. When you look at the passion of Christ, you see God's wrath against sin. You see the true weight of your trespasses. You see the total depravity of your sinful hearts. And when the Holy Spirit proclaims the cross of Christ, he convinces the world of the seriousness of its sin and the necessity to believe in Christ's passion for it. Christ's passion upon the cross brings to light the sin of the world. You know that unbelief is the root of all sin. Idolatry, disobedience, murder, adultery, theft, slander, covetousness. All these sins are committed because people do not believe in a God who provides, loves, and judges. Nevertheless, upon Christ's cross, this God revealed all his providence, love, and judgment. The Holy Spirit convinces the same world of righteousness. This is a quite remarkable thing, because righteousness and sin are polar opposites. I mean, how can this be possible? Because Jesus went to the Father by way of the cross. Jesus made atonement for all sins. And if you believe this, then you are righteous. But if you reject this, you are still in your sin. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith, by the proclamation of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit persuades the world that God declares her righteous because Jesus has removed the punishment which she rightly deserved for her sin. The same people the Holy Spirit convinces of sin, He then convinces of righteousness by the merits of Christ to be received as a gift through faith. The Holy Spirit convinces the world of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of this world is Satan, and he leads all people into sin and unbelief. He lures you to follow your vilest and your most depraved passions, and he then accuses you in order to convince you that you can't expect absolutely nothing of God but judgment and damnation. The Holy Spirit convinces the world by the proclamation of Jesus' suffering and death that Satan has lost, that he's been judged and condemned. Oh, Satan bruised Jesus' heel, but Christ crushed Satan's head. All who join Satan in sin and unbelief will join him in judgment and condemnation. You see, the world is judged for following its leader. But all who believe in Christ do not come into judgment, but pass from death to life. And there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit uses true words to tell of the historical events and eternal truths in order to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He opens your eyes and gives you ears to hear. He enlightens your minds, which were darkened by sin, so that you might recognize truth for truth and believe in Jesus' death and resurrection for you. This is how the Holy Spirit works among you. But Pastor, I think God is speaking to us. I've heard this so many times in the past, and I agree. God is indeed speaking to you. And there is a message from God. But how do you know what that message is? I mean, there are so many different things you could conclude by looking around the world, all the world around you. But to find the answer, you must look to God's Word. Peter writes, "Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And the Apostle Paul likewise wrote, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." It is popular for people to claim that the Holy Spirit is speaking through them or leading them. But unless they are listening to what the Holy Spirit says in God's Word, they're lying. It is common for Christians, in an effort to have the Holy Spirit lead them, to fold their hands and pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance. Nevertheless, they leave it at that without actually turning to where the Holy Spirit speaks to them. If you are going to pray that the Holy Spirit guides you, then you better listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you. He speaks to you only through His Word. And the Holy Spirit's Word is recorded in Holy Scripture. This is why preachers must be able to back up everything they preach with Scripture. God is indeed sending you a message, but you will not know what that message is unless you listen to what God says in Scripture. No, I don't mean for you to comb through the book of Revelation or to pull passages of the prophets out of context to find some fulfilled prophecy. I'm saying that whenever tragedy strikes, you should listen to what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit says that death is the result of sin. The Holy Spirit convinces the whole world of its sin. However, the Holy Spirit also convinces the world of righteousness, because Christ Jesus has gone to the Father by way of the cross. This is what you need to hear more than anything else. This is what you need more than a job, or the evening news, or than life. The righteousness that the Holy Spirit convinces you by the preaching of Christ's cross. His deadly illnesses or tragedies, God's judgment against sin? Yes. All death is judgment against sin. So repent. Judgment will come upon the whole world. In fact, the ruler of this world will be judged. But those who believe in Jesus will not enter into judgment. God is speaking to you through your sicknesses, illnesses, and tragedies. And what He is telling you is to listen to Him. You are by nature blind to God's truth. By nature, your ears are stopped from the truth. By nature, your mind is darkened by sin and will die. No matter how many doctors you see, no matter how many surgeries you have, no matter how much medicine you take, you can never get or you can never earn eternal life. But then Christians know this. This is why you bring your children, your grandchildren, the children from the neighborhood to church. In the church, the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to open your ears and your eyes, to enlighten your minds, and to give you a new spiritual birth, and to grant you nourishment that lasts into eternal life. Dear saints in Christ, as you give thanks to God for the help and comfort He sends you through the Holy Spirit from the church, by the convincing power of the Holy Spirit, you will believe the truth of Jesus Christ, and you will be members of the Christian church forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses our human thoughts and minds, keep us safe in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, you have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. Christ Jesus, your holy arm. By his death and resurrection, you have worked salvation. Strengthen the song of your church. Give skill to musicians and poets. Give boldness to your congregation in this and every place to sing the eternally new song of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Holy One of Israel, cause your Holy Spirit of truth to reign in the church, that what Christ has won for us would be declared joyfully and faithfully to sinners. Preserve our pastors, missionaries, and all who serve your word. Increase among us thankfulness for your compassion, for you are the great in our midst. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, you tempt no one. Defend us against all enemies, that we would not seek our own good outside of your gracious and perfect will. Order our life together by your implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son acknowledged Satan as ruler of this world and its ways, yet one whose reign is judged and whose time is short. Beat back his lies and deadly work, that an order of your creation may be seen. Give us good government and leaders who are both honest and faithful. Even so, let us look eagerly for your Son's return, that it may be quickly. We pray that you also watch over and guard and keep our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Deal kindly with your servants who are sick, injured, or in need, including Robin, Carol, Steve, Kathy, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robin, Deb, Mary, Shirley, Billy, and the Leslie family. Renew those who you have created in love and grant us your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Sandy continually by your word and spirit, that she may faithfully keep the covenant to which she had been called, boldly confess her Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have given us both bread for the body of Christ and Christ, the bread of life. Prepare us now to receive with faith and thanksgiving his flesh for the life of the world, in his blood that cleanses us from all sin. Unite us that we may believe and confess one faith, and bring us to that day when we shall all be one people together at the table of our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your Son, you promised your Holy Spirit, who would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Enlighten our hearts, that we would confess our sins, obtain everlasting righteousness through faith in Christ, and through every trial and temptation, abide in the consolation that Christ is Lord over the devil, death, and all things. We ask that you would graciously deliver us from all affliction to make us partakers of eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with hymn 307. He took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Pardon.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.